There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I'm Jake Bachman alongside Nick Sainert for today as Mr. Adam Carriker. Hopefully spending some time with his family here on July 3rd. We will wish everybody, of course, a happy 4th of July here from 93.7 The Ticket as our country turns 249 years old. It's going to be a big celebration, I think, next year for 250. So
might as well.
That'll be fun, yeah. But we will get into some Husker sports now, specifically some sports Husker sports football trivia. We'll see how well Nick knows Husker football over the last 20 years, specifically the defensive side of the ball. So we'll get into that here in just a second, but just to kind of set it up, later in the second hour, I also wanted to kind of go through who you, Nick, and the listener thinks has the best potential for a breakout season. Now, a lot of people are expecting a big season for Dylan Raiola, but in my mind, this team is littered with folks that could have a breakout season. Nebraska's going to need them. Needs of them. Not to quote somebody, I might get some hate for this on the text line, but Kirk Ferentz often says, we need some good stories. You need some good stories by season's end of guys rising up the depth chart and making some names for themselves. But one of those guys that I'm interested to see, and I think could have a breakout season, is Marquise Watson-Trent. Now, breakout season's kind of interesting a way to put it, because it would be more of kind of an opportunity for him to show that he can do it at the power four level. And it's not necessarily that he needs to do more than what he's done in the past. It's just, does it translate here? Now, many know Marquise Watson-Trent has been getting more than 100 tackles at his previous stop. His first last three seasons, 120 tackles, 116 tackles, and 113 tackles. So he is a tackling machine, and many believe that he could lead this team in tackles as well. We will have to wait and see. Now, if he does break the 100 tackle mark, he would be just the sixth player in the last 20 seasons to do so. Nick, can you name some of the other five in the last 20 seasons that have had more than 100 tackles for that Blackshirt defense?
Is Levante David on the list?
Levante David is one.
Okay. There's six of them?
There is five.
Five.
Hopefully Marquise Watson-Trent would be
It would
six.
Be six.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think. Go back through. So, because it's more than likely going to be a linebacker. Are they all linebackers?
They're all linebackers.
Okay.
Yes.
Was JoJo Doman?
No.
No, because he didn't have the volume. I'm trying to think back. What time frame for some of these? Obviously, the last 20 years.
Yeah. So, the last 20 years, I think if you've got... So, you got Levante. So, basically, all of them are after Levante.
Okay. I don't think a guy like Luke Gifford had the volume.
No, not Gifford.
Compton never got over 100.
Compton is one.
He is one.
Compton is one.
Okay.
The year after Levante David left, Will Compton had 109 tackles in 2012. So there's two.
I'm trying to think about these guys that maybe we forgot about.
These ones are going to be kind of hard.
2017. Like, I'm thinking about names like, now I'm not, these aren't guesses, but people forget about guys like David Santos and Colin Miller.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, Bach, help me out.
All right, it's going to be hard from there. So I'll go ahead and just give you some of these names. Luke Reimer.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, Luke Before Reimer had 109 tackles in 2021.
Yep.
Mo Berry had 112 in 2018. And Zaire Anderson had 103 in 2014.
That's a name. He spent some time with the Denver Broncos, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe Zaire. So, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of just those defenders that we forget about at times. Like, I mentioned the Colin Miller, the David Santos names. Like, I was thinking about, like, defensive backs as well the other day in a completely unrelated conversation of, like, Joshua Kalu and Damian Stafford. And, like, there were some – Nebraska's had some really good defensive backs over the last couple of years, and just defensive players, I should say, over the last 15, 20 years, even though maybe the results haven't been pretty.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nebraska, and that's kind of part of the whole discussion is, you know, some of these Nebraska does need, like I said, kind of some good stories, guys to evolve more than maybe and develop, obviously, on the coaching side more than what is expected of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you need some really good players to show out. And so, you know, Nebraska's, again, you don't necessarily have to have somebody get 100 tackles. Nebraska's had, what, top 25 defenses each of the last couple of years, didn't necessarily get there. But in different ways, you need to show out. And hopefully at some point, Nebraska gets back in that conversation of having, you know, where it's not hard to think of when you throw out some names to be like, okay, yeah, there's the guy that's played in the league for several years and all conference type players.
Marquise Watson-Trent is also he's one guy that he's got a pretty big task on his hands. Like there's a couple of guys on this defense that have some pretty big months ahead for them. And I compare Marquise Watson-Trent a lot to John Bullock of last year. Bullock is about an inch taller. I think Bullock was listed at 6 foot. Well, Trent is listed at 5'11". Similar weight. Trent is to about 227. Bullock was around 230. So very similar weight. I kind of see them being pretty similar in what they're asked to do. But he's a guy that like, that's going to be a big spot to fill. The front seven for Nebraska football this year is going to look different. And I would ask you this, Bach, like overall confidence level, we talk so much about the front four and we talk so much about Dylan Raiola and Emmett Johnson and the skill positions. Where's your mind at going into John Butler's first year as DC?
Yeah, I mean, I still think as we look at this team, as much as we do get excited about those other pieces, I think the front lines are going to be the most important and the most telling there. And of course, it's a big task, like you said, for John Butler to come in and take over as defensive coordinator, a needed one. Obviously, the transition from last year, where the defensive backs and a lot of people's confidence level is a little bit deflated because the defensive backs maybe played a little bit better 2 years ago when John Butler wasn't in the room compared to last year. Now, to be fair to him, he had, you know, what, a month before, you know, he's hired as a safety or the defensive back coach not long before the season last year. So we'll kind of see how that turns out. But I'm very intrigued by it. And it's one of those things where it's so fascinating that the offense is considered the strength of this team when for the past 2 years, the defense has done the heavy lifting.
Because I don't know if we've recognized it, but, and this is why I'm surprised maybe we're not talking more about it. And we'll get to deeper football conversations within the next month and a half as we get ready for Cincinnati on August 28th. But I think ultimately, I just looked it up to make sure I was correct. Nebraska was 18th nationally in total defense last year. They were 11th the year before. This is not the John Butler's not taking over for a unit that was barely top 75 or struggled immensely and given up 400 yards a game. This isn't the case of a coach that got fired, a defensive coordinator that got fired. This is one that obviously left and for a multitude of reasons, and we don't need to get into that, but there's big shoes to fill because we talk all the time about standard and expectations. And even if Nebraska takes a slight step down defensively and it's a top 25 defense, it's still good, right? But you want to continue to build off of what you've done the last couple of years, even if there are different bodies in the room, coach or player. And so this is not an easy task ahead, I think, and it's a pretty big one because Nebraska's offense, while it might be a little more explosive than last year, there's also some holes on that offense, and you need the defense to be able to pick you up.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, just the whole conversation, because I understand that Dylan Raiola and Dana Holgorsen are your two key offseason sells, right? Like that's in just really the two biggest pieces that Nebraska has, you know, under Matt Rhule to believe that things are heading in the right direction. So there's a lot of focus on offense. But I keep going back to if you get one injury from Emmett Johnson away. Yeah. From I'm not sure what the ceiling is on that offense.
So. And that's the big one, right? Yeah. Is it's what is the look? I mean, what does it look like if Emmett Johnson goes down? I think you're going to see a heavy dose or a healthy dose of Mekhi Nelson this year.
Yeah.
But once again, does that move the needle and make you comfortable as a Husker fan? And sure, you can take the wait and see approach if you're a Husker fan. You can take that approach, and nobody's going to argue with that. But I think, there's some holes, and I'm interested to see what the offensive line looks like. You know, you can kind of fill it out to where, all right, Elijah Pritchett's going to be at that left tackle position. I personally think that Henry Litovsky is going to be at that right side, on the right side of that line. Now, what does that mean for, you know, left guard? Center is going to probably be Justin Evans. But, you know, in a year where there's some curiosity of holes, that's where you need the defense to be able to say, we got your back on these games where maybe Nebraska's offense doesn't do so well. And we've seen that time and time again the last couple of years, whether it was with Jeff Sims, a quarterback, or even Dylan Raiola last year.
Well, and I think, too, if you remember to last year, and again, I think it felt like there was a step down. Now, one of those situations is the Indiana game, right? Yep. Kind of exposes you. Great defense, yes, but not great on that day, right? And so there's plenty of reasons to believe that defense did well. They did. I mean, they're the only team, I believe, in several years, especially for Huskers, not to allow a rushing touchdown at home. That's a crazy feat. Anybody
especially
would
in
take
the conference that you're playing in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I also remember going into last year, they were talking about being that 11th ranked defense and saying, we want to be number one. So yeah. I think part of it was they didn't exactly take that step forward. And that's what something you said kind of earlier that kind of made me think of that is, you know, are they going to build on what they were able to do the last couple of years? And I think the thought process for most Husker fans and pundits is not necessarily to build, but at least maintain and get back to where they were. And there's questions whether they can do that. Just that. So I think that's interesting because that's kind of where the offseason question is for the defense is, can you maintain, not necessarily build, but how great would it be if they did improve?
Yeah, the maintaining piece and angle is fascinating because you can look at it both micro and macro. Like micro, if you want to look at it, is game to game or even series to series, possession to possession, quarter to quarter, whatever it is. You can look at it and go, okay, are they maintaining this standard that they've had as a program the last couple of years on the defensive side of the ball? But then the macro conversation as a program is one that's fascinating too, because you have one side of the ball offense. I don't think that this is not a bold take. Like, I'm not going to get criticized for saying this. The offense needs to take a step forward. Mm-hmm. And I think we are expecting it to under Dana Holgorsen, and we could play the stupid game of what if it doesn't, right? Like, what if it doesn't work under Dana Holgorsen or Dylan Raiola or whatever it might be? I just think that there's a couple of places on that offense where you're, like you said, an injury away from it altering severely. Even at the quarterback position, like what does TJ Latif look like?
Yeah.
And as I like TJ Latif, but is he ready to go? And so I just wonder, I think the defense, as we get caught up in Dane Key and Ja'Cory Barney, and rightfully so, because those guys are exciting additions. But what about the ones that chose to stick around on the defensive side of the ball? Like Riley Van Poppel will have to take a step forward.
Yeah.
And the guys like Marquise Watson, Trent, the defensive backs. Also, same thing. Like, this is a big year for Deshaun Singleton and Marquise Buford Jr. and those types of guys on the perimeter as we usher in younger guys like a Donovan Jones that we saw in the bowl game in the linebacker room of Vincent Shavers Jr. As we usher those guys in, the leaders now, the Deshaun Singletons and the Marquise Bufords, they got to hold their own as well, especially with a new coordinator.
Yeah, especially that secondary you're kind of mentioning, you know, kind of throw in Hartsog there. I mean, there's so many game experience there that they do need to take that step up and hopefully, help lead that defense. Let's go ahead and take another quick break. I've got some more trivia for Nick as we continue through our July 3rd episode of the Adam Carriker Show. We'll be right back.